Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Palullo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Palullo and at JoshJordan975. And in between our podcast episodes here, you can read their blogs covering the Astros, Texans, and or Rockets over on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, someone once said that time is a flat circle. Someone else also said that Jason Alexander could toss 6 scoreless in Yankee Stadium. To my knowledge, only one of those people will be appearing on this podcast today. It was a touching family reunion in the Bronx as Jose Altuve paid visit to his kids. Speaking of returns, the prodigal son makes his return to Daikin, and he's been busy with the rake. And Houston needs every bit of it as the enemy is at the gate atop the AL West. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. So Houston wraps the roadie with a series dub over the Yanks. Games 1 and 2 brought the drama, but after losing that Fromber game, you just figured, well, the odds of winning the rubber game versus Max Fried were slim. But then Sunday, Jose Altuve walks to the plate, deposits the very first pitch he sees into the left field seats, and just reminds everybody whose house it is. And then Jason Alexander proceeded to outpitch Max Fried, held the Yankees hitless through the first 4. Where are you guys at with this team following them taking 2 of 3 in the Bronx?
Not a good road trip, but the way it started, they turned it into a very acceptable road trip. Right? Blown out of Boston, swept in 3, and just badly outplayed. And then they go get 2 out of 3 in consecutive series after that. So 4 and 5, you're not saying hip, hip, hooray. But when you're 0-3 and you recover and take 4 of 4 of the last 6. And I mean, look, there are thousands of reasons I could give for why I love baseball. But heading into the series, you're told, neither Hunter Brown nor Framber Valdez will meet the book definition of quality start. And Hunter Brown was awesome for 5 innings Friday night, and then it just all caved in on him in the 6th. Framber just had the B material in the game Saturday and was ineffective. And then Jason Alexander, you know, the Yankees had Jason Alexander bobblehead day earlier this season. Well, it was George Costanza. But Jason Alexander with his 90-91 mile-per-hour fastballs, I mean, not incredible command. He walked 3, but just bamboozled the Yankees, telling Hunter and Framber, here's how you do it in the Big Apple, big guys. So what a pick them up. Alexander also going deeper into the game than you would generally expect. He's done it a couple of times, but still, his pedigree is minimal at best. And, you know, for the weekend, the Yankees lead Major League Baseball in home runs. They lead the American League in runs scored. Yankee Stadium with that jet stream out to right center field, except for one awful Brian King pitch to Trent Grisham in the Saturday game. The Astros kept the Yankees in the ballpark the entire weekend. So they pitched well. The offense scored a minimum of 4 runs in each of the 3 games, and they leave the Bronx 4 games ahead of the Yankees and a leg up taking the series if it comes down to the tiebreaker, right? 3 more games at Daikin Park with these 2 teams. Texas Rangers got swept by the Phillies, so that was very good for the Astros. Yeah, the Mariners are not relenting. And the Cleveland Guardians, you know, that's the team that the Astros were to really hit the wall that they might need to wind up finishing ahead of to secure a wild card. But take a 2 out of 3 from the Yankees in their place, just the way it played out. And for the standings, good weekend, and as I said, making it an acceptable 4 and 5 road trip.
Yeah, Alexander looked great, just mixing in that changeup, low fastball, sinkers, just getting contact. I mean, he was really solid. He's very accurate with a lot of those pitches. He had the sweeper every now and then. He just kind of flip one in to get a quick strike on you and get up in the count. He did everything you wanted to do, and he'd go after. You know, he's only throwing 91, but he's not afraid to go after these guys. He did a great job. I think the umpire gave him a couple pitches that were a little low, and then that got Boone really upset. And then when he got kicked out of the game, the pitch he was complaining about, I think, actually clipped the very bottom of K-zone. But anyway, the spark didn't work. The Yankees never got the offense going. It was just a classic Altuve in New York type performance. And then you throw in Correa on top of that. It's just unbelievable. These two guys back together, I feel like it's changing everything. Correa's hit over 400 since he's joined the team. Altuve's been great. And Christian Walker, guys, look what he's starting to turn into. Really driving in the RBIs over the past 10 games. So I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing here. And what I'm noticing is I pulled the stats just for August, and then I pulled the stats for the last 30 days. They're pretty similar. I mean, the ERA, they're 12th in August. The last 30 days are 13th. WHIP, their 13th in August, 15th, the last 30 days. A lot of the numbers are similar. I just hope the offense can really get going here. And I'm really seeing that the leadership with Correa. I noticed with Cam Smith before he got that big hit today, Correa kind of talking to him through that at bat. Cam got lucky, got a pitch that was probably a strike, called a ball, got an extra opportunity and took advantage of it. But I think we're starting to see the leadership effect a guy like Correa can have on some of these younger guys.
Leadership's good. But really matters if he's playing well. And as you've mentioned, Josh, he's been swinging the bat fantastically since rejoining the Astros. A couple of other points on the Sunday game in particular. Now, Alexander needed 25 pitches to get through the first inning. He wasn't in big trouble, but 25 pitches, that did not augur well for him to go six. And the Astros bullpen, as we know, has been stretched out, especially in the non-Fromber and Hunter Brown starts. So that was just a money performance by Alexander. And then a second guesser's delight. Now, good decisions sometimes can just blow up in your face. Questionable decisions can work out. Does that mean the manager is an idiot or a genius? No, it's just the way it plays. Jesus Sanchez cannot hit left-handed pitching. For his career, he's about 175. This season, he's about 125. It was odd that Espada had him in the lineup against Max Fried. Clearly, they made the decision. They did not want Altuve playing any left field in the big left center field at Yankee Stadium, so it was all DH for him. Well, Sunday, you could have played Altuve at second base, Dubon in left field, and DH Yiner Diaz. I know Yiner hasn't been all guns ablazing this season, but certainly a better option against left-handed pitching than Jesus Sanchez. For his entire career, Sanchez has done nothing against lefties. So a big hit in the game. Granted, it was Max Fried hitting Sanchez to set up the opportunity for Cam Smith. And the things that can just sort of sift through the colander, pretty clearly, Cam Smith should have been called out on the 2-2 pitch, but you get the benefit of the doubt. Doesn't mean you're automatically going to cash the opportunity. You have to do that. And then Cam Smith puts solid contact on the ball going the other way, gives the Astros two runs to pad the margin. And then, of course, in the ninth inning, they just blow it out. So those little things can mean a lot. And so Espada comes out, I don't know if smelling like roses, but Sanchez in the lineup against the lefty was very curious, but he can say, scoreboard.
They brought that up on the broadcast, Charlie. They said just his matchup between the two guys, that Sanchez actually had a decent amount of hits against him in their career, even though he's so bad against lefties in general.
So for the record, it was Josh who I was talking about at the beginning, who said Alexander could toss six scoreless. And that was just kind of an allusion to how crazy and unpredictable this season has been. It's been a roller coaster at times. Charlie, you talked about it, how they open this road trip getting swept in Boston and then end up winning 2 of 3 in the Bronx, the rubber game in dominant fashion. Have you guys seen that meme? That's it's like a circle and there's like arrows and there's like four positions on the circle and the positions say, we're back. It's over. We're so back. It's over. At any given time during this season, it feels like you could be at any of those places. But with Correa back on the roster and in the lineup and whacking the ball all over the yard right now, it's hard to not feel like this team isn't back. But obviously that could flip on a dime because tough series ahead. I texted Josh during game one and I said, you know, after they left Susan for the seventh, I said, clearly Espada is trying to stay away from King. They bring him in game two. He coughs up what ends up being the game-winning home run. Now, he bounced back Sunday, striking out the side, but non-leveraged situation in the ninth. While we're talking about it, hats off to Josh Hader, Brian Abreu, just for being horses this season. Hader threw 36 pitches Friday. Bennett Sousa has been asked to throw a lot as of late. He loaded the bases Sunday, and then Joe went to Abreu, who put out the fire. I bring this up because Charlie talked about it, Joe kind of having his finger on the pulse here. MLB.com listed their manager of the year candidates, and they have a spot at number one in the AL. Anyone watching this team closely, I think, has to be impressed with how Joe has juggled the lineup, made a lot of chicken salad and lemonade with the incredible amount of injuries. So he's number one of my books, but what's the argument against at this point, Charlie?
The argument against Espada? Yeah. I don't think there's a particularly good argument against him. And when you look at other candidates, maybe a month ago we spoke to this when the Astros were winding down what turned out to be the 29-10 stretch. And the Rays were several games over 500 with their always nickel-dime payroll, and Kevin Cash was worthy of consideration. Well, they've dipped now to being multiple games below 500. With the Red Sox, huge surge. If they were to go on and maybe reel in Toronto, then perhaps Alex Cora's name gets mentioned a little bit. If the Blue Jays wind up running away with the AL East, right? Most people were not impressed with their offseason. They wound up caving and giving Vlad Guerrero Jr. $500 million. Maybe John Schneider is another candidate there, and what was perceived coming into the season anyway, and being clearly the best division in the American League East. But, you know, the Astros are on pace to win more games than they did last year or the year before. And with the personnel losses just from leaving the roster, free agency, trade, Bregman, Tucker, and then just the avalanche of injuries to the pitching staff, you can always quibble with individual decisions a manager makes, and people will carp about, well, why is this guy in our lineup? And how come he went to that reliever when he didn't do the job? It's all part of the job. And in the big picture, the Spotters' results are very good this season. You know, Seattle comes from seven games back and obviously barely behind the Astros now. The Mariners go on to win this division. Dan Wilson in his first full year as a manager, he'll have a worthy case. But Espada, there's no reason to say, oh, come on now, if you wanted to vote today for Espada as American League Manager of the Year.
Yeah, I don't have a lot on this. I think it's Espada just with all the injuries, the expectations before the season started, the roster turnover, getting all these guys to get familiar with new starters and Paredes and bringing Cam Smith in and obviously doing a good job help develop him because he's still with the big league club and had a huge hit in the finale on Sunday. So, yeah. All the injuries, losing Bregman and Tucker, what they pulled off. Of course, they got to finish the deal. They got to make the playoffs. But as assuming they do, I think Espada should win it.
Yeah, amen. The only thing I don't want to hear is revisionist history, because now that Correa is back on the team, oh, well, they got the band back together and that's why they've won. BS, the band has not been together for the entire season. In fact, I'll consider the band back together when Yordan Alvarez can actually swing a bat in a live game. Now, Espada, while we're talking about him, he's going to have to just keep his finger on the pulse of this pitching staff, because the bullpen has that we've talked about that's been called upon a lot as of late, it's going to have to probably do some more heavy lifting in the Red Sox series, as we got the news that Christian Javier gets the ball to open that series, followed by Spencer Arrighetti on Tuesday. What do you guys expect that we'll see from Javier? And who do you think Joe will call upon to eat some of those innings, Josh?
Oh, man, it's gonna happen. So just get ready for it, because as we're looking at what Javier's been doing in his three rehab starts with Sugarland, 10 walks in like 9 2/3 innings. I mean, that's going to kill you. If he can't find the strike zone, he's going to be out of there quick. And then remember, too, Arrighetti's going to be pitching the game after him, and he's still trying to get his pitch count back up. So that could be real challenging for, you know, your bullpen options for those first two games. I think you're just going to have to just kind of push through this right now. These guys are all kind of coming back. It's going to take them a while. So you're just going to have to ask a little more from your bullpen. You know, some of your leverage guys, they're going to do their thing, but it's going to be some of these other dudes like your Narises of the world and your Caleb Orts. Like, these guys are going to need to eat up some innings for you. I think that Okert too, he's been really good this year. He's kind of, I think, more of a trusted option these days. He's more towards the back, but you get the idea. They're going to have to rely on these guys, and they have some of these starters. We saw Colton Gordon warming up in the Yankees game. So they have some guys that maybe their roles are going to shift a little bit as this team gets healthy.
Atop the Red Sox lineup, if he'd been up a month earlier, Roman Anthony would be strongly in the American League Rookie of the Year race. Right, Nick Kurtz, he spotted the league 3 weeks, but he's a runaway choice at this point. But Anthony and Bregman, a couple of disciplined hitters who see pitches and take walks. And whether Bregman reminds them that Javier can be devastating when he's on, He's not a super command guy. He can be a high pitch count guy. He does walk guys, 15 and 14 innings in total as he was building it back up. He'll be at a different level of adrenaline, of course, as he goes to the mound on Monday night. I think the odds are quite good that the Astros don't get a couple of six-inning starts from Javier and then Arrigetti. If they can get at least five from one, they probably take their chances and you turn it into a bullpen game started by a starter, perhaps, than the other. Colt Gordon's lost his spot in the rotation, so he'd be a long man candidate if you needed someone to give you multiple innings. You know, and they get through the series, they get an off day Thursday. The Astros then play 23 games in 24 days. Their last kind of marathon stretch of the season. 10 days in a row, one off day, then 13 more days in a row. So that rotational depth is going to be tested. And it's not like they all need to be great, but, you know, keep you in games, give you a few innings, so you're not getting into sort of your second-tier bullpen guys, who I'm calling everyone but Abreu and Hader in the fifth inning. You know, you want to get at least into the sixth, ideally the seventh, right? The whole philosophy is King in the seventh, Abreu in the eighth, Hader in the ninth when they're winning. You just can't, especially when it happens in back-to-back games. You get a starter who goes 3 2/3 because he gets roughed up, or goes, you know, 4 1/3 because he's thrown 97 pitches. So it's going to be a very challenging month. Astros and Mariners, strength of schedules the rest of the way are pretty even. So in the end, simply, may the better team win.
It's so funny because we were hoping that seven-game cushion that they had in the division would hold up to where they wouldn't be in this position where it's so close right now. But here we are. And the Mariners, you know, they've been feasting on that soft schedule. They get another cupcake matchup versus the Orioles in Baltimore. Do you guys anticipate this division race now just comes down to the wire? Or do you think, more likely than not, that Seattle has one more of those infamous losing skids left in them that gives Houston some breathing room atop the division?
Mariners absolutely could have a dip, but the Astros could have another one. The Mariners have the definite better starting pitching depth at this point, and they're about to get Bryce Miller back, which will give them all of their five expected starters. Remember, Miller's missed 6 weeks. Logan Gilbert missed 2 months earlier this season. So they've had some issues as well. And the way they fortified their offense, when you go player by player, the Mariners have the guy you take as the starter over his Astros counterpart at the bulk of positions. We're in the dog days of August. No slippage yet from Cal Raleigh, who may actually have momentum to shoot ahead of Aaron Judge in the MVP race. Not like Judge has fallen apart, but he missed 10 days on the injured list, and the Yankees are in the tank if they miss the playoffs completely. I mean, Cal Raleigh's still on pace for 60 home runs. He is a catcher and won the game for them with a 3-run homer on Saturday. If he does not fade, I would give the Mariners the slight edge in this division race at this point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be right up to the end of the season. They're an improved team. They're playing great right now. They're feeling themselves. Astros got a little bit of that going too with Correa coming back. And I just think you really need Yordan. When they announced the Javier news that he was returning, they were teasing that we were getting good injury news. So I was thinking, oh, heck yeah, maybe Yordan's going to be back. But no, it's Javier. And while it's great to have Javier back, I get it. We need pitching. I'm a big fan of his. I mean, we're talking about Yordan Alvarez. It is wild that we look back and a third of August is gone. Dude hadn't hardly played at all this year. I mean, it's really, really amazing how far this has gone, how long this has taken to heal. But I think they got the shot here. I think for Correa getting everybody infused, Altuve's playing better. I think that's what's kind of cool too with Correa coming back. I think this is going to help Altuve as much as anybody. You could tell he was kind of down about losing Bregman and maybe the direction of the franchise and not quite sure. And then you see Jim Crane double down and go, no, 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 Altuve, I got you. I'm going to pay Correa. I'm going to bring him back. We're going to make a run at this thing. For the next few years, we're going to be in it. So I expect this to come down to the last few games of the season. These are two really good teams, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, Altuve had a really big July, so it's not like he was down in the dumps. But clearly, getting Correa back was a jolt. And Yankee fans will never learn. Keep poking in the little bear. You know, I know he's more Pooh Bear than some big grizzly, but you boo him and the FU chants. They think they're going to hurt his feelings. They should probably present him a key to the city, give him standing ovation just to mess with his head. So he's, well, what's going on here? Because they boo, and then he just beats their brains in. 6 for 11, 3 walks, 2 home runs in the series. So you know, the Astros and Mariners are 5-5. So they're so close in the division. You throw in the series remaining in September at Daikin Park. The winner of that series, you can't split it. It's a three-game series. The winner of that series, if it's 2-1, automatically gains a game and takes the tiebreaker. So, you know, I'm not going to say the winner of that series wins the division, but the winner of that series, it's a clear leg up relative to the other 45 games or so that we don't know what the outcomes are going to be.
During that text exchange on Friday, Josh was just saying how different this feels with Correa back in the fold and him and paired up with Altuve. It's just, I don't know. It just seems, and obviously like things could unfold differently as, you know, there's still a lot of games left to be played, but it feels like a vibe shift going from where they were to where they are now. Final thoughts before we're out the door, guys.
Early this season, the Astros had a phenomenal record against teams over 500. They still have an outstanding record against teams in first place at the time the Astros playing them. But as they slumped and went 9-16 in 25 games, they did not fare well against good teams. And the Red Sox series, kind of the poster series of that, where they got whipped up at Fenway. So do they get to balance the books on that a little bit? But then two of their next three series are against the playing out the string Orioles, right? The Mariners get them early this week. Seattle then goes on the road at the Mets, at the Phillies, two likely National League playoff teams. One of those two is certainly going to win the division. So if you're an Astros fan, hope that they have a solid week at home against the American League East. And I hope that the Mariners, after getting through the front of the week against the Orioles, that they don't have a real good road trip against the National League East. Because if Seattle does that, you know, vibes and momentum, second half, Julio seems to have it going, Rodriguez, Cal Raleigh maybe having the greatest season any catcher's ever had. But frankly, not because it's good for what we do. I think it's fun. The race goes down to the last week. Obviously, you need that final outcome of getting in the playoffs one way or another. And so I'll close iterating that the Astros remain in a very strong position, you know, four and a half games up for at least the third wild card, even if the Mariners ultimately take the West.
Yeah, I'm excited for this Boston Red Sox series, especially game one. I like that the Astros, we're going to amp it up even more. We're going to bring back Christian Javier, even though there was talk that he might make another start in Sugarland. Kind of Dana Brown wasn't quite sure, and Espada was thinking it would happen. So I'm wondering if Espada pushed for this, and you get Bregman returning. You got Correa paired back with Altuve again. I mean, what an awesome night that is going to be at Daikin Park. I've heard a lot of people that are, hey, I'm getting some tickets. I'm going to be there when Correa returns. And now you got Javier starting, Bregman coming back. Man, Jim Crane, I'll give him this. He does have a feel for the pulse and what people want from this team and the commitment that Astros fans wanted. And he's given it to him, man. I did not think that he would do this. I didn't think he'd go over the tax again, commit to something like this. And now Astros fans are going to be rewarded. That should just be an awesome atmosphere for game one against the Red Sox.
The man knows how to put on a show. And I'd say Charlie stole my thunder a little bit on this, but it's worth underlining the point again, which is regardless of the result of this series, obviously it worked out well for them, but regardless of the result of the season for that matter, it will never not be wild for me to watch Jose Altuve's uncanny ability to just channel jeers from a hostile crowd and redirect that into near superhuman feats at times. I want to share something. The Talking Yanks account tweeted this during the game because people were just on and on about Altuve. Jose Altuve now has an .813 career OPS against the Yankees. He's better against 15 other teams. His .278 batting average against the Yankees is his 22nd best of the 29 teams he's played against. He's just good, is how they ended that. So when your rival concedes that you're just so good, but you're not even at your best against them, that is a one-sided rivalry, and you love to see it. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts and apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Next scheduled episode drops on Thursday. So make sure you subscribe to the channel with those notifications on. And one more plug, the three of us are relaunching the Texans podcast, Texans on Tap. First episode drops this week. So keep an eye out for that if you're a Texans fan. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. And as always, Go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.